when we think about sleep, we tend to talk a lot about the mornings and what happens when the alarm goes off, when we're trying to wake up, and a lot of people are stuck in the snooze cycle and feel like they just can't get up. The alarm goes off. It feels so early. They're so cozy and warm in bed and maybe even fuzzy still in the middle of a dream, and you just don't want to wake up. And it feels really hard to get your body to enter into a more alert stage. And I want to share with you that if that is something you are really working on, trying to improve your mornings and what happens for you when you wake up, I'm going to let you in on another secret, which is that so much of that actually pertains to what happens the night before.
Welcome to the Healthy Habits for Life podcast. I'm Dr. Carol Perlman, a psychologist, health coach, and married mom of two boys. I went from a frazzled working mother who hit snooze until the last possible moment to a vibrant business owner who jumps out of bed at 5 a.m. excited about my day. I once felt completely overwhelmed by my endless task list, but have learned to work smarter, not harder, by studying health habits, mindset, and time management. I love to teach others how to implement top recommendations for health, happiness, and success. Yes, busy moms can follow a nutrition plan that supports their goals, create a daily exercise routine, and stay on top of their to-do list and go to bed feeling fantastic about the day. Tune in each week as I share my best strategies for creating and sustaining daily habits for a healthy lifestyle and chat with other experts in the health and wellness industry. Now on to this week's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Healthy Habits for Life podcast. I'm Dr. Carol Perlman, and thank you, as always, for joining me for another episode. Today's topic is something that I know hits home for a lot of people. I know a lot of listeners are dealing with menopause and perimenopause, and one of the biggest challenges that can go along with either of those is difficulties with sleep. And so today I wanted to dedicate an entire episode to talking about sleep because you know what? While on the one hand, it is terrible, it's one of the worst things if you are having trouble sleeping, even if you have a one-off night where you don't sleep, it really can mess with your day, make you feel awful, and it has a ripple effect on many other things that happen during the day, both within your body, within your mind, and then within your life. And so it's super important that you pay attention to your sleep and your sleep habits and that you take steps. You know, there are a lot of steps that are within our control, and it's super important that you take these steps that are in your control to preserve your sleep, maximize the quality of your sleep, and that enables us to offset some of the variables that might be out of our control, such as hormonal changes, children, babies that wake you up, dogs barking, things like that. But there really and truly are a lot of things that we can do in our control. And you know what? In some ways, it all boils down to one thing. And I'm going to share with you in a little bit what that one thing is. If you do one thing to protect, preserve, improve your sleep, I'm going to tell you what it is in a little bit. So this is all very timely. So as you hear this podcast, we are in March. We have just, we didn't change the clocks back. We sprung the clocks ahead to adjust for daylight saving time. Do you know, I learned last year, I did a similar episode on making the adjustment. And I think so many of us have been saying daylight savings time all these years, and it's daylight saving time. And anyway, so I know we are on the heels of that and it's tough. I'm feeling it too. Gosh, Sunday morning, Monday morning, they were rough. But usually after about a week, most of us adapt, our bodies settle in. You know, we treat the new time as the real time. And so hopefully by the time you listen to this, you have adjusted to that change. But if not, I'll put a link in the show notes to the episode I did last year on making the adjustment. And definitely keep it in mind, mark it in your calendar for next year, because there actually are things that you want to do the week before that will help you make that transition easier. So you can also mark your calendar, because the same thing goes when we change the clocks again in October or November. So mark your calendar to play the episode then, and it will really help you. But today we're going to talk about sleep under quote unquote normal circumstances and what you can do to help protect your sleep and give you the best quality sleep possible so that you feel your very best physically and mentally. you know, the research is just unbelievable. More and more studies are coming out that demonstrate the connection between sleep and many other health concerns. Certainly, I know a lot of people who listen to the podcast are focused on weight management and, you know, healthy body and healthy mind. And there's actually a lot that happens while we sleep that pertains to metabolism, hunger cues, and weight loss. And so sleep is one of the most important things. If you're going to work on one thing, improving your sleep is a really, really great place to start. So, you know, I know a lot of you hear me talk about the miracle morning, and we tend to talk, when we think about sleep, we tend to talk a lot about the mornings and what happens when the alarm goes off, when we're trying to wake up, and a lot of people are stuck in the snooze cycle and feel like they just can't get up. The alarm goes off. It feels so early. They're so cozy and warm in bed and maybe even fuzzy still in the middle of a dream, and you just don't want to wake up, and it feels really hard to get your body to enter into a more alert stage. And I want to share with you that if that is something you are really working on, trying to improve your mornings and what happens for you when you wake up, I'm going to let you in on another secret, which is that so much of that actually pertains to what happens the night before. I'm going to say that again. So much of your experience in terms of waking up in the morning has to do with what happens as you go to bed the night before. So we're going to start there. We're going to talk about some healthy adjustments you can make at night that are going to then set the stage for you to sleep well and also wake up more easily in the morning. So the first thing I want you to know is that it's really important that you get enough sleep. So if your goal, if you decided I need to wake up at 6 o'clock, you know, everybody is different. Everybody's household has a different rhythm. And so your wake up time may be different from mine, may be different from Susie's, may be different from your neighbors. It doesn't matter. You can think about what time is going to be best for you to wake up. Whatever time you decide that is, let's just say it's 6 o'clock for the math we're going to do today. If you decide that it's 6 o'clock is the time that's really going to be best for you to wake up, we got to go backwards and think about bedtime and what time bedtime needs to be so that you actually can wake up at 6 o'clock. So think about how much sleep you need. And again, everybody is different. Generally, the recommendations are 7 to 8 hours. There are some people who will say they function great on 6, and there are some people who will say that they are miserable if they don't get 9 or 10 hours. So again, everybody's a little bit different. If you are someone who's used to getting, you know, maybe 5 hours of sleep and you say, I'm really going to work on that 7 hour recommendation, it's not going to be realistic that you jump from 5 to 7 hours. So think about incremental goals and allowing more time for sleep little by little. So adding increments to that. So you want to think about what time do I need to wake up? Okay, it's 6 a.m. Then how much sleep do I want? Let's say I want 7 hours. That means I want to be asleep by 11 p.m. So we got to work backwards from that. You know, we all live busy, busy lives. We can't expect that we go, go, go all day long and then say, oh, it's 11 p.m. I'm supposed to be in bed. Stop everything, take out your contacts, brush your teeth, and hop into bed and fall asleep. It's not going to happen. Our brains have been too aroused during the day. We need a more gradual transition at the end of the day that will help set the stage to fall asleep easily and get good quality sleep. So my recommendation is that once you have that time by which you want to be asleep, you work yourself back 2 hours before that. And that is the time when you stop all expectations of productivity. So if I want to be asleep by 11, that means at 9 o'clock, no more expectations. I'm not checking email. I'm not on my laptop. Ideally, I'm not even on my phone. I'm not trying to fold laundry. I'm not trying to clean up the kitchen and do dishes. All expectations of productivity are over, and you allow yourself the time to just relax and unwind and do whatever you want that's enjoyable. Read, knit, color. A lot of people really like to color at the end of the day. Listen to music. Whatever hobbies you have that are relaxing, talk to your family members, check in about their day. And yes, I know a lot of us want to watch some TV. So personally, I'm a big fan of that, but you know, there are people who will say, don't watch screens right before bed. I'm going to make an exception for TV, but I'm going to make a caveat, which is that you should keep it light. Don't watch the news at the end of the day. Don't watch some heavy duty documentary. Just don't watch content that is going to trigger you, that's going to get your emotions all agitated, that's going to get your brain thinking. Keep it light and fluffy. I have a little theory. This is not backed by science, but this is just my own observation, that there is a difference between watching new content versus rerun content. So I find it very relaxing to watch rerun content, and it's kind of the right amount of stimulation. It's entertaining to me, but my brain's not working too hard to process new information because it's so familiar. And so it's kind of a sweet spot. I generally don't watch new shows at the end of the day. I try to do that earlier in the evening. So like I said, no science to back that. That's just my own observation. Think about it. Many people who listen to the podcast have children. And if you think about when your children were babies, would we have them go, go, go all day and then say, oh, it's bedtime, let me plop you into your crib and expect them to go to sleep? No, that would not have gone well. So think about it. We had a routine. There was maybe a nice warm tub. There was a bottle. There was a story. There was some music. There was, kisses and snuggles in the rocking chair. Gradual decompression from the activity of the day, and then put them in their crib nice and drowsy, and off to sleep they hopefully went. We, as grown-ups, are not that different. We need a gradual transition to calm our minds down so that we can ease into sleep. So think about an evening routine that is going to signal to your brain that it's bedtime. It's time to calm down, time to slow all the activity and get ready to ease into sleep. So you may want to take a shower or bath, wash your face, put on lotion, maybe journal, write what you're grateful for, what went well during the day. Maybe do a brain dump. If you have lots of ideas spinning through your head that tend to keep you up at night, do a brain dump. Get them all on paper. And better yet, you'll hear more about this in the future, but better yet, make a plan in your calendar for when you're going to work on them. And so then you can go to sleep knowing I captured my ideas and I know when I'm going to tackle them. Your brain will then be able to put them to bed. And then the last idea is that you may want to do a calming meditation. There are so many great apps, from the Calm app, Insight Timer, 10% Happier, anything you like, even just listening to meditative music like, water bubbling, the sound of nature, whatever it is. Do something calming at the end of the day, and it is going to signal to your brain it's time for bed and it will be easier to fall asleep. The last thing I want to say about bedtime is that for many of us who live in a house with other people, it's one thing to make that promise to yourself that you are trying to follow this routine, but it's another thing for the family to adapt to that. So you're going to want to make it known to the people that you live with if there is a change that you are making. If they are used to you being up till 12 o'clock available for questions, help with homework, help with whatever's going around in the house, and then all of a sudden you're saying, actually, I'm going to go up to my bed at 9 and consider myself off duty. The family needs to know about that, and you may need to have a conversation to say, here's the change I'm making. Let's think about how that will affect you and whether we need to problem solve anything in order for me to succeed with this. Let's say you have a kid who likes to start homework at 9 o'clock and they like to come in and ask you questions. Well, that's no longer going to work for you. So you're going to have to work with that kid to make a plan that says, if you want me to help with homework, which I'm happy to do, you're going to have to start it at a different time of day so that I'm available if you need some help. Well, that's one example. Lots of other ways in which the family might be affected by your change in routine. And so it's really helpful to make it known and have the conversations. How does this affect them? Do we need to make any other adjustments to make this successful? And you may have to revisit the conversation time and time again. How's it going? Has anything new come up that we didn't think about? How can we address it and problem solve it? So I wonder if at this point you can guess what I would say the most important thing that you can do to improve your sleep. Okay, did you pick up on the clues? I'm going to tell you what it is right here. The most important thing when it comes to sleep quality is consistency. It's signaling to your body what to expect, doing the same thing over and over again, day in and day out, following the same pattern. I stop activity at this time, I'm in bed at this time, I expect to fall asleep at this time, and I wake up at this time. When you have those same windows over and over and over again, your body starts to cooperate. It can expect it, it gets used to the activity and the quiet, and it will give you what you want. It will better perform. it may not be perfect. Like I said before, there are a lot of variables that also come into play in terms of hormones and other changes within your body. But the one thing that you do have control over is this consistency. And I strongly believe it will have an impact on your sleep. So let's talk now about a couple of things I want you to think about before we wrap up for this episode. So we talked about calculating how much sleep you need, really thinking about what your bedtime is, what your wake time is, and then counting backwards, giving yourself that 2-hour window to calm down at the end of the day, setting the expectation with people you live with that this is your pattern, and working on that number one strategy of consistency. So right now, if you're not driving, I want you to take out a pen or take out your phone, the notepad on your phone, and I want you to take some notes. What are some changes? Now that you've heard this episode, what are some changes that you realize you can make in your sleep routine that is going to have an impact on you and set the stage for better sleep? I want you to write them all out. And then I want you to get started trying to implement them one by one. You may not be able to implement them all at once, and that's okay. This is a work in progress. So work on one step at a time. And remember what I said, that you can't expect your body to make dramatic leap. So if you're used to going to bed at 1 a.m. and you want to start going to bed at 11, you can't expect it to fall asleep right away. So you're going to have to make incremental changes and work your way back to that bedtime. Same thing in the morning. If you're used to sleeping at 9 and you want your body to get up at 6 and be wide awake, ready to go, it's not going to get there overnight. You have to work on that gradually and make changes by 15-minute time blocks. I also want to give a little plug for my favorite app. This is not an advertisement. This is just sharing one thing that has really made a difference for me is something called the Sleep Cycle app. And this is an app that you put on your phone. It does require that you sleep with your phone next to your bed. So some people are not a fan of that, and that may not be a good strategy for you if it's too tempting. So if you can tolerate having your phone next to you, you turn the Sleep Cycle app on and you can set a window and you can say, wake me up between 5:30 and 6 because I need to be up by 6, and it will track your cycles of sleep. So did you know there are actually different stages of sleep that we go through? And from deep sleep to less deep to REM sleep to an alert phase. And we cycle through these over and over again throughout the night. And believe it or not, depending on what phase you're on when you wake up, you're going to have a different experience getting to a state of being alert. So this Sleep Cycle app will gauge where you are in your sleep cycle by your breathing, and it will wake you up at the time when it is easiest to become alert. It is magical. I swear by it. I use it every day, and I can tell you that it's had a huge impact on me. So that's another little secret that you can try. So I hope you have written down your list of little adjustments that you can make, and you're going to work on them one by one. And I want you to check back with me. Find me on social media, check back in a week, in a couple weeks, in a month, in a couple months. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how these adjustments have been working for you. And I hope that you're going to see a dramatic improvement. That's what I have for you today. I hope you found this helpful. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. And I'll be back next week for another episode. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Healthy Habits for Life. If you loved today's episode, please follow me on iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. These are so important and will enable others like you to find this podcast. Also, please share this podcast with your friends you know would also love it, so we can get the word out. Thanks again for joining me. Until next week.